joining us in a studio, Baruch Lurie from Nussbaum's, the Big Brisket. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thank you very much for asking.
Good.
I need to tell you that last week when we started discussing my Yontif second night dinner.
Yes. I'm getting a bit stressed about your Yontif second night dinner. We have to talk about that.
Rose Abrams.
Yes.
Contacted me and she said she would be happy to make me chopped herring.
Well, there we go. There we go.
So if anyone else would like to contribute parts of my meal, my phone number is...
Right, exactly. You can have a little sign on the top, you know,
FM... Sponsored by...
FM listener section.
The brisket courtesy of Baruch Lurie.
Absolutely.
You've given me an idea over here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like a play it forward thing. You
yes.
know, do you want to, you know, go into Nussbaum's and you can sponsor somebody's...
Absolutely.
Brisket.
That's a good idea.
All right. What have you got going?
So we actually, we're putting a pause on specials this week. At least not just this week, but for the next 3.5 weeks until Yontif, because
right.
the chaos is starting.
And you're not looking for additional people in the store. Is that
you want to keep
saying?
Our existing clients as happy as possible. So I think it would be a cool idea now.
Is that
to,
even a thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Is there ever such a thing as a happy customer in kosher food? In the kosher food industry worldwide.
So I had a very funny situation where I was at Shul and someone from overseas, he's a South African, but I think he lives in Israel, and he comes home once a year to visit his parents, and he said, you know, I'm from Israel and I eat at a lot of different restaurants, and I was at the Burger and Brew, and I must tell you, it was unbelievable. It was better than any other burgers that I had in Israel, et cetera, et cetera. And I was waiting for it because it couldn't just be
that. There's always a but.
But just one thing, I was like, what's the matter? He says, can you give us proper knives and forks? That just highlights exactly what you deal
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. That's exactly
that's,
right.
That's right. Why should you eat with a plastic knife and fork?
Yeah, I think he raises a very good point. Yeah. Now that we actually, you know, we didn't bring it up, did we?
Environmentally not acceptable.
We actually just started with paper straws, by the way. Biodegradable straws.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
That's
I feel
a good
sorry
step.
For our customers that have to use them.
No, look, you can
well, that's the point. You ever only need to buy one box.
Yes, because everyone learns after the first time.
Not to use them. So then you'll have one box of paper straws sitting on your counter.
Yeah. I don't know. I gave Howard Feldman for his birthday last year metal
straws, exciting.
Which I'm sure look lovely in the box.
No, I've actually used them a few times.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, until there was a terrible article about a woman who died from one of those, you know.
Where did she stick it?
Well, that was the problem. It was sticking up on a table. I don't know how. And she actually, but she tripped and fell, and the metal straw went through her eye and killed her. So from that on, I knew that being eco-friendly has actually got a cost. It's dangerous.
I knew I should not have sharpened those straws like that.
That was such a cool present, though. Brilliant.
But,
touch,
you know,
yeah.
It's like the airline. Baruch doesn't give his people metal knives and forks just in case they walk into the kitchen and stab the
That's
chef.
A safety thing, yeah.
Right, safety is their first concern. Right.
So I just in terms of Yontif, I think let's choose a quick meat dish now for Howie's second night, and let's do a recipe. So what's your plan?
Well, I don't really have a plan. I'm dependent on you.
Well, Karen says, Howard, can she come to your second night?
with pleasure. I'll assign you one of the desserts.
Right.
So I tell you what we're going to do. And a brisket is a Rosh Hashanah type meal. Mm.
Traditional to make it a bit sweet, isn't it?
Yes. We try to have everything sweet. In fact, I personally throw honey on absolutely everything, but...
Honey's not your wife.
Honey's not my wife.
I'm glad with a week of violence, gender-based violence that we've had, that you had to make that joke.
Well, I was just asking for clarification.
Because Baruch Lurie throws honey on everything.
Because the shoemaker, I'll bring it back, guys.
Right.
Because the shoemaker goes without shoes, and we typically sell out our briskets long before anyone in the mishpacha gets one, we've actually learned to work with other cuts of meat. So there's a cut of meat called a hump. Mm-hmm. And what we do with that at home is
you must get over that hump.
All right, can we just carry on? Just keep moving through this. Because I do not want any innuendos around this, if you don't mind.
Yes. Especially on Wednesday.
It's
so,
hump day.
So, we pickle the hump.
Uh-huh.
And then what my wife does is she boils it for 2.5 hours.
Right.
So you get the pickle flavor and you get the salt out. That's what the boiling does, and also softens the meat. And then what we do is we fry a lot of onions. We fry a lot of carrots and leeks and celery. And then we add a sweet red wine, like a regular Rashi wine. Mm-hmm. And we literally throw that on top of the hump. And we let it roast in the oven for about an hour on 180. And you get the most delicious look-alike brisket. And it's slightly cheaper than the brisket as well. And it's absolutely delicious.
I was going to say, because one of the advantages of hump is that it is cheaper.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So you got to get it pickled to infuse that flavor. And you got to boil it to cook
so
it.
So you don't pickle it.
So I get Nussbaum's to pickle it for me.
Oh, Nussbaum pickles it,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I've got a great pickle. Nussbaum's, they do this. Mm. And it's a great story, yeah.
That is a great story.
So that's nice.
Very, very nice.
I want to go back to this brisket thing.
Yes.
Because we've discussed before, I'm a big fan of burnt ends.
Yes.
Can I do a brisket on the Weber? Like with closed, how do I do that?
Okay, so that's quite a story. I think we should keep that for Sukkos because I've got a delicious 12-hour smoked brisket Sukkos with the burnt ends. So, I can tell you now, but I don't want to ruin it for
No, Sukkos. Don't. Just keep us in suspense.
I'm going to start building my Sukkot tonight.
Right just now. Yeah,
right
exactly.
Now,
just
that's how hungry I am.
Okay, so we talk, and what are the prices that you the for?
Yeah, so the pickled hump is $189 a kilo, and the brisket is $209 a kilo.
Right.
So there's a nice saving over there.
Uh-huh. And how much do I need per person?
250 grams of raw meat per person. So if you're having 8 people, you need a 2 kilo roast.
So now, if I'm having like chicken and meat,
go for the same. Because
you want
typically
leftovers.
Want leftovers.
Or if you don't want leftovers.
If you don't want leftovers, then go for like 180 grams or 200 grams of raw meat.
So your calculation, and this is also important because that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges of catering. And I see this conversation going on at home all the time. Do I have enough? And my answer is always no.
The answer is always much too much. But regardless,
you're not going to have enough.
You're going to panic at the last moment, no matter how much food you have, and go make more.
It is absolutely true. No, because what happens at my house is my wife will say to me, "Do you think I've got enough?" And she'll list some of the things, and I'll say, "I'm not sure." But then what she hasn't told me is she hasn't listed all the other things because I don't know. She just hasn't. So you don't get the whole picture until you actually start to see it. And then you've really, really land up with too much.
Yeah. So actually what we started doing in our house is that if we're doing fish and soup and a main, we actually stick with one. So we say, right, either it's lamb, beef, or chicken, that's it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or what we do is we say, no, because some people eat chicken, some people eat beef, we've got to have the option. Then we actually can either a fish or we can a soup because it just becomes crazy.
Right. Yeah. Do people still do that? You know, I know in sort of growing up, we would always start with the fishes and then the soups and then the main. I've noticed that people don't generally.
I would say, listen, there's a mitzvah to eat fish on Shabbos. There's no doubt about that, as there is a mitzvah to eat meat and wine. I know that a lot of people, because it's so expensive, at the shul kiddush will get away with the fish. And then for Shabbos lunch, will just be one course as opposed to two courses. So and Friday night is... Yeah.
As my halachic advisor,
yes.
This mitzvah, is it one of the 613 to eat fish on Shabbos?
I think the mitzvah of celebrating Shabbos... 614? I think the mitzvah of celebrating and giving Shabbos honor and glory consists of having meat, wine, and fish. So it's a sub. Okay.
Unsigned says, only kosher food has cuts called flap and hump, and people still buy it. All right, it is. Now, that is very rude. Luckily, the kids aren't in the car, but anyway.
We also have the short rib.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems with being Jewish.
non-kosher people called the short rib? does it not appear
they call
in
it they call it the top rib.
The top rib, okay.
All right. Time is 8:19. Baruch Lurie, before I let you go, just give us those prices one more time.
Okay, so pickled hump is $189 a kilo for the next three and a half weeks leading up to Yontov. Brisket is $209. My recommendation is go with the pickled hump. You'll save some money and you'll have a great cut of meat.
Time is 8:19. I'm Howard Philbin. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM.